Pastor, because Father, because it speaks directly to and about me. And I pray, Father, that you would use your Holy
Spirit.
Give us an understanding of your word. We've been looking at a number of different specific topics in relationship to the Church of Jesus Christ. And the basis on which he attacks the false teaching is the gospel itself. And if Paul is correct in 1 Corinthians 15,
it's
the foundation for biblical Christianity. So in this book, Paul is writing to Timothy, who's a young, very specific commands of how the church ought to be run. In the first half of chapter, and we ask the very specific question, do you want to see our church succeed in the eyes of God? Second of all, in the second half of chapter
2,
he gives very specific commands concerning women within the church. And in verses 1 through 7, he speaks of the pastor, the elders.
He
also said that it is the responsibility of the congregation to aspire to live in the same manner. Qualifications that are similar to a pastor. But they are qualifications of a slightly lesser degree. That the church, first and foremost, is the that which holds up the truth for the world. And we answered the question, they will look at the lives of Christians within the church. So by the time we get to chapter
4,
the first 5 verses is speaking directly about where Paul begins to specifically give commands to the young man of God, the preacher Timothy. They apply to the church as a whole by extension. And although these are things that specifically and also for our church specifically, we who are without a pastor, summarize this brief passage. The thing that the pastor primarily is to be doing is to be teaching. In verse 7, there's a negative. He's having nothing to do with vain myths. The hope of future salvation through the gospel. And so he begins our passage this morning and I would say that this is speaking specifically of this passage of verse 6 through 16. He's telling Timothy that these are the things that you need to teach to the church. I mentioned that when starting this series, that is to say that what we do in church is directly based on commands that God has given concerning His church. Commands in both Ephesians 5:18 and Colossians 3:16 for the church to be singing hymns. is that we pay attention to public reading of the text of Scripture. Why do we pray in church? Why do we give during the church service? Why don't we just put a box in the back for people to give? And why do we have a preaching event within our church? So why don't we have a music concert during church? Movies for our church to learn from during our worship service. Now these things are never forbidden within the text of Scripture. Essence of the regulative principle. That Scripture tells us exactly what we are supposed to be doing within our worship service. Begins by telling Timothy to command and teach these things to the church. He begins in verse 12 by saying, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith." Timothy was a young man. He had been traveling with Paul for a number of years. And so this book is probably written, 10 or so years after Timothy began his travels with Paul. He's pastoring a church that Paul himself had planted. And he's young. Begin to listen to you until you're 30, 35, 40.
所以在一般的社会里面，人可能 不太听一个人的话，一
people that were looking at Timothy. And they were saying, "Why should we listen to you?
他们说，我们为什么要听你呢？"
Why can't we listen to our teacher?
他们可能比你更好看,
they're taller than you.
他们比你高,
they're stronger than you.
比你强壮,
therefore, they must be a more better moral person than you are.
他们一定比你更有道德.
And Timothy, you're just a kid. And so Paul tells Timothy, don't let anyone look down upon you because of your age. But instead, the things that we're going to find as we go through what the concept of Christian leadership within Scripture. The pastor is not the primary decision maker within the church. He has a great deal of influence over the church and fires the pastor. Who's the one who sets the church's budget?
The
church is thus the primary decision-making body. But the pastor has two modes by which he leads. The pastor, by his manner of life, shows people within the church how God requires them to live. The more that people look at the manner in which he lives his life, following the example of a godly man. The second thing that happens, we're going to see this later on in this passage. Scripture.
And also, 也同样的靠着他对这个圣经的讲解.
Now, in other passages of Scripture, the congregation is commanded to obey the pastor because what he's teaching is the Word of God, the church, and to be the one who's teaching the church the Word of God. And they listen to the words that he speaks. And so Paul begins by commanding Timothy to be an example. in his speech.
首先是在他的言语上,
in every language,
在每一个语言,
as basic application, first of all, there are words that are considered vulgar and profane. Is in order to attempt to connect with the people who are sitting in the pews and attempt to connect with people in the unsaved world. This would not be a godly example. There are also, and by their words, they are very good at hurting people's feelings. And speaking unkindly. But instead, he sets an example of what godly speech is supposed to look like. Second, what he does in his daily life. Number three, it says that he is one in love. This is a kind of love that might cost him something. He wakes up, he stops what he's doing, and he goes to help. So there's an aspect of self-sacrificing love, thing which is unseen. That is to say that the pastor is supposed to have a clear vision of the
Lord.
So how can you have a vision of that which you have never seen? He knows God because he has experienced God firsthand. God is a shepherd who loves and guides and cares for his sheep. God is a judge who sits upon the throne who judges those who have sinned against him. God is like a Passover lamb who demonstrated his love by dying in a very real fashion. And the pastor has a personal relationship. This means that he spends a great deal of time both in prayers and prayer. If we look at Acts chapter 6, which we're not going to do this morning, that's the whole purpose of the deacons.
So
he is speaking to God in prayer, and God is speaking to him through his word. And purity means more than just marital fidelity. It means more than just a man. It means much deeper things than that. It means that his heart is clean and it is pure, human, and he still has a sin nature. He's the one who's willing to confess his sin to God. And in doing so, he begins to sin less and less in his life. And second of all, he's supposed to be an example in these five areas. Then put yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, and to teaching. Paul is desiring to go back to Ephesus to visit the church. But if he's already told us that he might possibly be delayed. First of all, it says devote yourself to reading. Open, for instance, Milton's Paradise Lost and read it out loud in church. We don't open certain works of poetry and read them out loud, even though they may be good and
helpful.
We don't even open books about the Bible in church. Now, although this is directly talking about public reading of Scripture, to read the Scriptures as a whole. And so, fathers and husbands, a number of times a week, reading the Scriptures out loud as a family. And I think we can also apply this to the individual. First and foremost are people of the book. Christianity is a religion of text. Then you need to spend time every single day in the Word of God. And let us not think that we've gotten enough teaching twice a week. And the amount of time that it takes to read this book slowly, cover to cover, that's approximately, if you're reading an hour a day, that's 2.5 months to read the entire Bible. And there are a number of different programs that you can find online to read the Bible in a year. Shame on you. Shame on us as a church for not being people of the book as we ought to be. And the third item is anti-teaching. And these items are somewhat closely related together. So within these three items, exhortation both has a positive connotation and a negative connotation. So this word exhortation includes both concepts.
So
apply these scriptures to our lives. That as we listen to the sermons, as we read our Bibles as a family, and how can I find comfort in my God today? And what specifically is God wanting? And the third item here is teaching. This stresses the content of which Timothy is supposed to be speaking, a body of truth that's been handed to him by those who are above him. And for what Christianity is, so how do we know that Jesus
Christ,
but it is not clearly articulated until approximately the year 325. How do we know that Jesus Christ's death paid a substitution? But such doctrines have not been articulated by the church until approximately the year 1100. Those doctrines specifically against Catholicism are not articulated until Martin Luther. These concepts were not clearly articulated until John Calvin. How do we know that baptism is specifically for believers?
1611.
So there's a content, yes, from the Holy Scriptures.
这里面的跟妇人在我们以前把这些传下来。
And so the teaching of Scripture must strive to teach the entire Word of God and the entire gamut of Christian doctrine.
所以，在第十四节，这里说要借着预言。
It says, do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council... If you hold your finger here.
假如你现在就把这个你的手放在这里,
and you turn over to Ephesians chapter 4.
你回到以弗所书第四章第七节,
and verse 11.
跟十一节,
verse is 8 through 10 is a parenthesis, so we can leave the parentheses out. Prophets, the evangelists, and the pastor teachers.
所以第七节,
apostles and prophets, which are listed as the foundation of the church in Ephesians chapter 2.
使徒跟先知,
And what's left are evangelists and pastor teachers. Evangelists are essentially church planting missionaries. And pastor teachers are the pastor of the church. A pastor of a church is a gift that is given by Christ. How do you respond when you get a gift? You know, during your Christmas present, you open it up. And she gives you socks. What kind of Christmas present is socks, Grandma? Because in reality, although I wanted Legos, I really needed socks. And when our church gets a pastor as a gift from Christ, but the proper response should be to be thankful for Christ, to Christ for giving us a man of God. Gifts here is the fact that the church is recognizing his giftedness and his ability as a church leader. The church has recognized that this man is a gifted one from God. He has both the qualification. Do not neglect this fact. And so how would Timothy neglect this concept? It's listed in chapter 3. He's neglecting, he's throwing away that ministry that Christ says in verse 15, practice these things, devote yourself to them so that all may see your progress. And some of the people in here play musical instruments. Your brain on music. And in it, the man argues that anyone could be a competent musician. Train both the ears, the brain, the mind, and the fingers of what they're doing musically. Sure, it takes to be before God. We have to practice biblical Christianity and a biblical church over, and the military views it this way. They say that training is bloodless combat.
So
that without thinking, they automatically know what they ought to do in order to survive. Of times when things appear to be going well, of times of minimal temptation, we can, our first and our natural response is to act in a godly fashion because we've practiced that way. And this concept of devotion is a concept of sacrifice. That we are sacrificing ourselves to living the Christian life will cost you something. But if we began to think about our own lives, it's not much. And I would say that it's not much because we haven't been living our lives as we ought to. But we have a repeated emphasis. We are to practice and we are to immerse ourselves in these things. Teaching, persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. Things to which he says you are supposed to keep watch, to guard. He says, first of all, guard yourself, Timothy. And thus to not follow wise counsel. And it's very easy for the young Christian to think in his excitement. Beware of things that hold you back spiritually. Don't you think that your family can hold you back spiritually? Or what about your career? Now that's not a bad thing. Career. Don't you realize that that too can hold you back spiritually? Or perhaps you're on the deacon's board, or one day in the future you will be one of the deacons. And so keep watch of yourself. Number two, the end of this month. We haven't changed any of our core beliefs. And so beware of giving in to false teaching. Make sure that the content that you are teaching is from this book and this book alone. And over again, guarding yourself is not a one-time action. The nature of salvation in Scripture is essentially threefold. Presently, as a believer, you are constantly and consistently saved from the power of sin in your life. And so salvation in the New Testament is often seen as an eschatological event, an event of the end times. The epistles of Peter. You have this concept of a future salvation which is yet to come. Not saved without our works. That out of true salvation grows Christian living. If Timothy consistently practiced these things, if the leadership of this church consistently practices a Christian life till the end, such is the essence of until the end, when we are finally saved, when God looks upon us. Let's close in a word of prayer. I have not necessarily lived up to the example that I ought to be living before these people. You have given for us in your sacred scriptures. And Father, we agree that you are faithful to forgive us of our sins. Father, if ultimately pleasing to you and to your Son, help us ultimately to be people who be obedient to the Scriptures. In that in our obedience we would ultimately find our joy in rejoicing in you and in your Son. Amen.